The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey, 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 I hear that door opening. Listen, you guys, if I sound a little bit like I'm talking in a tin can or something, I'm on one of those dreaded but necessary cell phones. You are listening to Waking Up in America, a radio magazine, dynamic radio dialogues on life today in America, brought to you by the Koning Company, drval.com, 42action.org, and Bob Strakosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio that is changing the world. So we thank you, Bob, and I thank you, Randy. Randy partied last night, and she'll tell you about that. I was riding BART trains and hopping around all over the place and dragging baggage for days. It's been quite a week, let me tell you. So, Randy, you want to tell them about that?
Well, you know, I don't go out a whole ton. Good morning, Val. Good morning, Mike. I had a total blast and started out as a business meeting, and then the text messages started flying because we realized each other was kind of fun. We have similar things, you know, both divorced, both have four kids, and, you know, she lives in South Beach, I'm in South Miami. So we got to the place where I was picking her up late. We ended up going to a place called Olinsky and Williams, and it was so fun, right on the water, cruise ships going in and out, gorgeous, and the drinks were flowing, and cute guy comes next to me. You know, I point him out to her. They get to talking. Anyway, it was just a blast. We started making wagers on different people and what was going on, and it just made for such a super fun evening. And that gentleman joined us at another location called The Standard. I never even knew these places were in South Beach, and it was just super fun. I drank my minerals before, and I drank my minerals
after. Yeah,
that
was good longevity. I wanted to give longevity a play. Yeah.
That's right. I'm like rejuvenating as we speak. Drinking my minerals and trying to get this feeling I have.
Just trying to focus your eyes, I think. It sounds a little bit.
That was the first time I ever came on the radio and you said, you seem a little down. You seem a little tired. So absolutely had a blast. Needed a night out in the town, and it was so fun. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's really important, I was busy. I got off the stop at the wrong stop and or the right stop, depending upon how you look at it, because I'm staying out in the countryside, and I've been going to conferences in San Francisco. I went to Werner Erhard's speech with Professor Michael C. Jensen called Creating Leaders, a New Model, and we'll mention more about that. That was on Wednesday evening. And then my dear friend Debbie Reenshop, bless her heart, she was out in the boonies. She drove into town to pick me up after that speech or that inner dialogue that they had and drove me back to the countryside. And then I get about 3 or 4 or 5 hours sleep, and I have to get back on the BART train to go into the city, which is takes about an hour, hour and a half, something of that nature, depending on how you hit things. And then spending time at the 2015 Conference for Global Transformation. So it's been an active week,
mm-hmm.
especially if
wow.
you notice what Randy's having her kind of activity, and I've been having mine too.
Well, you've been all over the place. I didn't travel so much, just one trip to South Beach, really.
Randy, I've had conditions in my knees and stuff like that for a while, and
mm-hmm.
some people said it was due to lack of activity, and I want to tell you something, there's no lack of activity over here at this point. You've been dragging around suitcases and briefcases and all kinds of stuff and meeting just some of the most amazing people in the world. But I'll tell you, without Lisa, who's actually driving over here to pick me up, to drive me into San Francisco so I could do this radio show and be on time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know how I feel about cell phones and stuff like that, but I feel even more against recorded shows. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, we do quality stuff, but I am compelled to be communicating as part of my job and as part of Randy's. It's like, we do radio because it calls us, and so many people. You know, that's an interesting topic, Randy, because a lot of people are working through obligation. And the people around me in the speech and at the conference, their future is pulling them, you know?
Mm-hmm. So What happened at the conference? What kind of people did you meet?
There's over 200 people at this particular conference. I think way over. I thought that was an underestimate when they said there was 200. I think it was way more than that. They've come in from all over the world, and they've come in with different projects. We've all been trained by the Landmark Education Wisdom Course, which is a powerful, powerful course that you get the privilege of taking after you've done the Landmark Forum. And these courses are not expensive or inexpensive, but when you take them for a second time, they're very renewable. And some people have taken this particular course 4, 5, 6 times. You know, I've taken the Forum like 11 times. Now, why would anybody take the Forum 11 times and take these courses 3 or 4 times? They come in from all over the world to do this. Landmark Worldwide is now is over 2.2 million people have done this work. And what it's about is about giving back. It's about contribution. I had a really interesting conversation with a woman yesterday, and I was telling her about Major Ed James and remote viewing, you know, Randy. And she just got really excited, and she said she'd been a psychic ever since she was a little girl. She'd seen spirits. She's just this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful human being. And mm-hmm. she works with helping veterans recover. And so everybody has got one of these projects.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them actually are, a lot are Christian. A number of them, actually, when I talk to them about angels, they say, nobody talks to us about that. I said, well, I am. Are you an angel, by the way? Because you're so sweet and they're so powerful, some of them, that you just wonder. And she said, well, I've always thought maybe I was. So ever since, Randy, you getting those tickets for the remote viewing and getting Sherry and I over there, it's changed my life.
Wow. See, I'm so glad that you were the one that got the tickets.
Me too. Now, did I tell you about my sister?
No. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is that I hit the mute button and I was trying to, and then the screen had shut off, and then I had to go find it again. You know how it is. Look, without a cell phone, this would not be possible. But do I like cell phones? Do I need to say what I think on the air? I don't think so.
And they shift screens so fast. It's gone. It's there.
They do shift screens so fast. But here's what's happened. This is something that I forgot to ask Ed about when he was on, you know?
Okay.
Ever since I traveled in the timelines, because remote viewing is actually dealing with the tube torus, and the tube torus, you guys that are at your computers, type in TUBE and then TORUS, okay? And what you're going to see are different designs, but the tube torus has a tendency to look like a donut, okay? And that's actually how time works. I was talking with this woman last night, and we were agreeing that the past, present, and future were sitting right there at the table with us at that moment, and that we were anchored in the present, okay? Remote viewing makes you a traveler, that you're actually, because you're training yourself to pick up images from other times and other places. Like one of the images that I picked up when we were doing the experimenting, Randy, was a World War I gas attack, and with people running around with gas masks. See, which we were given blind numbers. We were told to go through a certain process, and then we picked up information and we put down archetype symbols. Mine had people, I had little circles for people, and then there was descriptive things like, what did I hear? And my hearing is so trained from radio and also from the therapy work that I do that that's my strongest suit. So whenever you go someplace, I would be the person that would maybe have the most accurate perception of the noises that were present. Somebody else might be better at colors or something, or textures. So you don't get like a photograph. What you get is impressions. And when I did the remote viewing and I went back to World War One and the gas attack, what words had come out, I couldn't figure out what was going on. I had running, stumbling, circling, falling, screaming, and crying. I mean, what would that be, right?
Yeah.
And then I saw the picture that we were remote viewing, and it was a gas attack with guys wearing masks, running around, screaming, falling, and all that stuff. It was awful.
So you actually, yeah, you know what? We never discussed this. So in the training, how many things did you get right? How many things did you not really?
Well, it isn't even like a get right. Mm-hmm. It's like some of the things you don't recognize what you got because it's not anything you've ever seen before. Okay, you put your pencil or your pen above the paper, and when they say go, you start going through the different questions, and you touch your finger, your pen down to the paper, and you start moving, and you make these squiggles. It looks like or circles or different archetype symbols. So you're not drawing anything that's totally recognizable, you're receiving data impressions, okay? When Ed reads them, then he goes, oh, well, circles are the archetype for people. So, for instance, if you remote viewed, say, the room I'm in right now, okay, you might come up with some angles, you might come up with some texture, you might come up with some stacks of something. You wouldn't get a picture of this room. Just this room. Mm-hmm. You would get these impressions and then you would jot them down. Okay, and then as the major looks at them, then you see, and he goes, yeah, that's right, that's garbage. He does have a way with words. That's right and that's garbage. Okay, so you want that. And you say, now this one you totally were receiving. And I'm looking at it as a page and it's like, what's that, right? Then he shows. So on one image, I get red, blue, green, yellow, something like that for colors. I get spinning, and I get tilted, and I get the sound of music, right?
Okay.
Now, but my son was so afraid I was going to spy on him. You can't spy this way. Later on, I guess, if you're really good, you could spy on somebody. Okay. But not at the preliminary stages. So when you say, how many did I get right? Well, it turned it was one of those tilter spinning things at the amusement park. I had the circles drawn, and the circles were the people inside. So I had all the people in. So I had all these little circles around. And then I had the colors, red, blue, green, or whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's really amazing as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I get how if you really were good at this, you'd be really good at this. And Ed was saying that he actually got inside of the cockpit of the airliner that went down in Asia, and he actually picked up images, I think it was of people. Well, first of all, he picked up images of two people fighting, okay?
Okay.
And sometimes he'll go in and he'll do the same thing like two or three times, so go back. The next time he went back, he got uniforms. And he got that the co-pilot was actually fighting with the pilot. And they verify this stuff. And but he's been doing it 20, 30 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So
After we had him on the show last week, was, I know you had to leave a little bit early. We always talk after.
Yeah,
we ended up
I was going to ask you
for,
about that.
Yeah, it was so fun. We had him for, like, what, Mike, about another hour or so? So,
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
This is part of what we call radio benefits. Okay.
Yeah, he is so great. That is, I'm telling you, he's like top up there. One of my most favorite people. He's fascinating to listen to. And
oh, totally.
Yeah. I mean, he can, if somebody's got treasure, like gold hidden, he can remote view where it's at. He's working on a couple projects right now for people. And it just sounds, you know, everybody's got someone who buried something, right?
Yeah. So, the guy's totally amazing. I don't want to forget the point of what happened with my sister here, which was the benefit I didn't expect. I am present with people that are past.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I haven't been, like, it's like they're here. Like, right now, even.
Okay.
It's not that they follow me around or anything. It's like I go, "Hi, Pat, it's good to have you here." I laugh. Somehow, by traveling through the tube Taurus, I have a different relationship with time. So I'll see something and I'll say, "Pat, you know, did you see that?" Or, "Shaney, I'm leaving the coat home today. I don't want to. I wear my sister's coat when I travel a lot. It doesn't hold cell phones well in the pocket, and I was afraid it would fall out and I'm running around on trains and stuff. So I'm telling my sister I'm leaving her coat at home and don't have her feelings be hurt." That's really amazing. My mom doesn't show up for me that much, but my sisters definitely do, and mom occasionally, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a different relationship. They're here, but they're also past at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know how that works, but I can guess.
My oldest boy's father's passed away, and, you know, I've never really believed in, like, what you're talking about until my son one time was driving, and it was a long road trip, and he was in one vehicle, and his brother and a friend were in another vehicle behind him. And my oldest son fell asleep at the wheel because they had been going at it, I don't know, maybe 16 hours or something, or pretty close to it. And he didn't have a whole lot of sleep before he took the trip. So he falls asleep, and while he's asleep, he has the most peace come over him, and he sees his dad, and he's talking to his dad, and, you know, it's just, like, really great because he's reunited with him. Well, his dad says to him his name, and he says, "You know, you need to wake up now." And he said, "No, Dad, no. I just want to stay here. I just want to be with you." And he said,
"Yeah."
He said his name again. He said, "You need to wake up. Wake up now." And my son argued again in the dream. And finally, he said, "No." He said his name again. "You need to wake up now. It's not your time yet." And so my son literally woke up right at that moment, and he saw he was already going off the road. Now his brother is watching his brother drift off the road, and they're on an interstate, two lanes going each way at least, and there's a huge grass divider, you know, for semis if they ran off.
Oh, wow.
And so my son's going down the embankment. He's already off the road. He's going down the embankment right when his dad in the dream says, "Wake up now. It's not your time yet." My son instantly wakes up. He sees what's happening, slams on the brakes, grabs the wheel hard, and he ends up doing a full 180, not the 360, but he ended up going all the way up into the other lane, almost on their side. And the brother and the friend are totally watching this entire thing. And they're all thinking he's dead. He's going to die here. And he came to, and he just bawled like a baby because it was his dad that saved him. And so
I feel teary.
What's that?
I said I feel teary just listening to it because it's the connection. And that's the other end of that conversation is Werner Erhard and Michael Jensen talking about people being things rather than working at things. It's like what all of this work is about, whether it's remote viewing or whatever, it's about uncovering what's real. Like Mike's been an announcer. Our wonderful Marine has been an announcer. How many programs has he been in? And I'm going to, whether he knows it or not, I believe it's a calling for Mike. Okay? And it's like, what's your individual calling? I go through heck and high water to keep this show on the radio. No kidding. Because it's my calling. And there's been times I used to make a lot of money at it. I haven't in probably 7 or 8 years. I probably put $2.5 million, $3 million of my own time and money into this since we started this radio show in 1987. I'm compelled to do this. I am called to do this. I literally have walked on hot coals with Tony Robbins. I go places when I don't know what it's going to be like or how I'm going to get there, and then people like Debbie's friend Lisa is driving me into the city this morning. So, because if I took the BART trains, Randy, I couldn't have done the radio program. So a friend of Debbie's, Lisa, is coming over here at 7:15 to drive me into downtown San Francisco, and then she's going to drive me tomorrow into to the Hyatt Regency at the airport so that I can be there when it starts, because the BART trains don't start early enough. Now, I never met Lisa before, and there she is, and she's really cute. I tease her. She's got a hot foot. She knows. She really drives like a little racetrack driver. She is the, like, perfect person here. And then I had, you were out doing your party at the on the waterfront. I was having dinner with Debbie, currently, she has some disabilities, and she's currently living at a senior residence, okay? And Debbie isn't quite senior yet, so she's probably the youngest person here. So I was having lunch with a school bus driver from the, I know that the Sicilian mama, who did have sons in the family, was, I believe she was over 90, and she was just amazing. She was such a good trip. So here I am sitting in between two very remarkable women in their older years as they're sitting in this very comfortable community, and I'm just surrounded. Well, I think if you ask me what's been the best thing on this trip so far, it's the people. Every place I go, I meet these extraordinary people. Last night I was getting on the bus, and there was from the Hyatt going to the BART station, and this blind woman comes up, and her name's Harriet, and Harriet's going, "Who's taking the BART?" Right? And I was the one that was taking the BART, so I said, "Hey, come on over here." And so Harriet and I ended up meeting each other, and what an amazing human being. She speaks all of these languages. She's been blind since she was 6 years old when she hit her head. It was an unusual accident, and it happened. Her eyesight would not have been lost in this particular time with the technology that's here. And she's just incredibly cheerful about it, extremely adventurous. I watched people on the BART system. It's funny because when they're on the BART, everybody's plugged into their darn cell phones. And it's the darnest thing. People have this kind of little stare, and I think, well, they're probably listening to music, right? And then they'll be smiling, so some of them are watching movies. But there's just, I don't know, it was very surreal to do this. Coming back with Harriet on the BART, however, that was a totally different thing. They were blown away by her. Everybody was willing to help her. And so I was meeting, you know, whatever nationality was on the train, they were all there, or I'm going to say majoritively speaking, the same people that were buried in their cell phones were now, they wanted to help Harriet. And it's very, very moving when you can just sit and observe and see the generosity of people. And one of the guys that was being just adorable was like a black guy with hardly most of his front teeth missing, who knows how or why or whatever. And his wife was there, and they were just being charming too. It's just like her condition brought out the best in everyone because they wanted to help, and they all did in one way or another. So I'm just moved by being surrounded by people with such good things going on, and probably this is a great spot. By the way, if you want to tweet Randy right now at Randy, R-A-N-D-I, at Randy Shannon, because that's the two N's, because she's the one that does that better than I do. So you want to start with giving our sponsors a boost?
Ooh, well, let's start with...
You pick one, and then I'll pick one.
El Pinto Salsa.
Yeah, so you can tell she was out partying last night. Probably even had a salsa dip at some point, did you?
Yeah, we had, it was pizza and salsa.
See how I get smart? I just listen. So we like
Jim. I do not know
why
that was the first one on my mind.
I did. Just flashing back to having a good time, and El Pinto Salsa is really a place to have a good time. You just, Jim Thomas and John, they're amazing twins. They're the salsa twins, and their salsa is actually available at Ralph's grocery stores, and it's I'm sure at other places now. They just keep growing. They're a destination restaurant in Albuquerque, which Mike and I have partied at, and Randy will too, because I'm going to work on getting us together for Christmas this year. You partied. You partied pretty good, my friend. You don't remember, huh? You were having that good a time. It was the best service that I've had at a restaurant. If anybody on the air, Mike, knows Perino's in Hollywood, it was a big restaurant in, oh God, the 80s or something like that, 70s maybe. The best service, I've had good service really twice. One was Perino's, and the other was at El Pinto. Weren't those guys remarkable? That guy that was serving us? Yep.
Mike, you're not really saying much there, Mike.
He's not being a big conversation. Yeah. What happens when you have a really good waiter that's really tuned into you, and you can translate this conversation to life, okay? When you have a really good waiter, they anticipate you.
Yeah,
that's like they're just vibing you, okay? They're just right there. They're being the waiter. And this is the whole thing about this weekend is that these people here are being their projects, okay? Our waiter at El Pinto was being just an excellent, high-quality waiter. So... And then, of course, we needed some Patricia Bragg's apple cider vinegar the next day. And by the way, one of the reasons I got into apple cider vinegar is because I went to a conference of champions. And this conference of champions, which was held at a big conversation down in downtown Los Angeles, there were baseball players, there were Olympic swimmers, they were champions. The most common thing that they did, all of them, was... A lot of them, the ones I spoke to, they used apple cider vinegar every day.
Oh, nice.
And they actually, you know, we're doing this creating the possibility of living to be 200. That was the most common ingredient, was apple cider vinegar, and people not being sick and things like that over a period of time. So I like hanging out around champions, and Randy does too.
That's big in the circles of health. Because when I did Anthony Robbins, everybody was doing all of that stuff there, too. People care.
Well, you know what? The Protandin, I love the fact that you can have really good dreams at night, and it purifies your blood, too. And I've got that on the trip with me as well. So
wow.
I thank the products that have come before us. So this program has been on the air 28 years now. It's going into the 28th year. So these are the best of the best over that time. Which one do you want to do?
Well, you know, longevity, since I happen to be drinking it like
crazy. That'd be a good thing.
Yeah, longevity, 90 for Life, the minerals. I am on those right now. Actually, 90 for Life, that is just a good term, but there's actually about 94, 95 combination omega 369 minerals and vitamins. That is, Longevity is the company for detoxification, supplements, immune system, memory and cognition, kids' health, men's health, women's health, seniors' health, weight management, you name it. I mean, we got it. So you can find the link right on wakingupinamerica.com and get your 90 for Life today. Everyone needs it. That's my opinion.
There you go. And she didn't mention everything because Dr. Lale, she's coming back into town on the 20th, so I'm going to see if I can connect with her. She does it too, so she's an amazing woman, and she's the person that's going to save us from cell phones and radiation, okay? So we'll be bringing you more on that. It's very important. CodingCompany.com. One of the things that I had to do, especially with the chemtrails, your coding actually cleans your eustachian tubes, and it's the only thing I know that does that. I've seen when you go to the doctor's office and they wash your water out with the ears, they actually pack the bottom part of your tubes because they're pushing down. The smoke from ear coning goes down into the eustachian tube. It's made with beeswax, and it's sticky, and it touches toxins, and then the following smoke brings it back up and puts it in the tube. And so what happens is you actually end up cleaning that tube, and when you can feel smoke at your collarbone, that tube is clean. And it's like getting your teeth brushed. But unfortunately, mostly it's like simply Spanish families and things and some German families and things like that. It was a practice way, probably like in the 18th, 19th centuries, coning was a practice. With medical BS, and when I say BS, that means blatantly stupid, not the other thing you think. With medical BS, people are talked out of these things. They're talked out of the natural cures. For instance, Valium is valerian root that's been changed by one molecule so that they can patent it. So they've taken natural things and they've... Once you take something away from something, like once you take that one molecule away, the body doesn't assimilate properly. Nature has a balance to things that medicine does not. I'm not going to say I've never used medicine, because I have. What I'm saying is that I avoid using medicine whenever I can. I go for the natural. I avoid doing radio shows on cell phones. And then sometimes you just have to, because you ain't doing it any other way unless you're doing it that way. So the thing is that what Randy and I want for you to be able to be intelligent about what you're doing. Like if I eat one GMO, I am not going to die from it. If I live on GMOs, I'm going to die from inflammation of some sort. Any comments for you, Randy, on the next thing or what's been said so far?
Well, one of the things my son says is he's like, if you eat a GMO here or there, it strengthens your immune system against that garbage. So if you don't have any, you haven't built up any sort of an immune system towards it, because your body's going to fight all that. So eat GMO in super, super, super moderation.
If you have a lot of stomach trouble or something like that.
Yes, yes.
See what happens when you, that's one of the main things it does. It screws up the intestinal tract for little darlings. I now look for food grown in Mexico. Pardon?
Mm-hmm. And their fertility.
So.
And some people
I knew
that
about
are older,
that.
They, what does it matter to me? Well, it actually.
That's what I said until I found it in his stomach. I said, I've already got my kids. I can do GMOs, right?
Exactly. So,
no,
it's not true.
No.
Marketing with the stars.
100,000, 80 to 100,000. Actually, I'm getting ready to do a marketing thing with them on, not on ear coding right now. If you go to drvalerie.com, and Valerie is all spelled out, V-A-L-E-R-I-E, and doctor is all spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R, you'll actually discover the process that I developed in 1984. That process is totally, totally, totally remarkable. And I will give you a complimentary demonstration of it if you call me at 310-455-8623. Once again, it's 310-455-8623. And it was fun when I got a call from England, and I actually did a clearing for somebody over in England. I love it. Waking Up in America is global. And we got in the information sheet from Voice America. Randy, did I tell you what foreign country it was that replays us the most? I was really shocked.
I think it's France, right?
Yeah, it was. And it was chemtrails, by the way. What's fun about the Voice America part of this, we're played at a number of stations. They actually keep stats. on where people come in to download the show. The foreign people tend to download the show because there are time differences, okay? So we may have one in this country and three in this country and 10 in that country, but in France we have like close to 300 people. And the highest rating of all of them was chemtrails, which is totally related to what we're talking about right now because they attack your system in different ways. Whether it's intended or unintended, it happens. So what Waking Up in America is about, it's about taking care of yourself, being called by your future, involving yourself in things like the conference or global transformation or speech that inspires you, something of that nature. I had no idea I would enjoy Michael C. Jensen as much as I did. That guy's amazing. He and Werner have been working together for 13 years. Put yourself in the presence of the people that you respect and admire the most and notice that it affects you.
I like Aguachi.
Yeah. Pardon, what were you going to say, Randy?
No, I'll say it after the commercials are over about that topic, about being in touch and putting yourself in places. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Aguachi is another one of my favorites. Put it together. This Aguachi machine, I'm going to invite Michael back on again. You actually put your feet in water, and it's got this kind of a coil that goes into the water, and it pulls the toxins out through the soles of your feet. It's like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Part of that, oh, my God, is actually your water because it's exposing the stuff that's in your water, too. So it'll definitely send you back to the pure water bottle when you see what that is. But these things, they all come together. This same company has a really good telomere support, too. So we thank you for sponsoring with us. You want to do the next one, Randy?
Yeah, might as well cover 42action.org.
What about that one? Who does that?
Wow, that would be me. It's all pro se, and we love it. And it's about arming yourself with knowledge because that is the best protection of your freedom, which, you know, our freedoms are the guiding light around the entire world. This country's freedoms, like, everyone has watched us, and they're slowly being, now it's actually on fast track, what am I saying, being eroded away. And so our guiding light is somewhat going out because other countries realize, you know, if this country goes, then they all go. So 42 Action is, it stands for we're not anti-government, but we're rather anti-corruption in government.
I like that. I don't know who thought that up, but that's so accurate. We're Americans, and we're standing for America.
That's it.
And I love foreigners. Bring them on over. But don't bring me foreigners that don't want to follow the Ten Commandments. This is a nation created under God, okay? And I prefer that it stays that way. In fact, it needs to, as far as I'm concerned, or otherwise we're insulting our founders.
That's so, right. Oh, we've already been there, done that, insulting them. And it's not us. It's corruption that happens to be in power. And, you know, there's a lot of people.
You know, I'm not going to totally let you get away with that. You know that.
Okay. Go for it.
And because you're not letting anybody get away with it.
Come on.
I'm calling you on it, Shannon. I'm calling you on it.
We're about holding them accountable, the corrupt ones.
Exactly. But unfortunately, the Internet and telecommunications and things like that weren't available while these – we're trusting, too. A lot of people that love God are also very trusting of others. And also, we don't like things that get too complicated sometimes. And I don't think the educational system is what it used to be. You know, I actually couldn't pass – and I've got two master's degrees – I could not pass a test from the 1860s for a kid going to school, in grammar school. It was highly embarrassing. The education that people were getting 100 or 150 years ago was far superior as far as a general level that I can see. They may have gotten their butts smacked with rulers and stuff like that, and I don't go for that.
Right.
But I do go for the fact that people were actually taught to be intelligent, and they stood up for themselves, and the conditions of the world at that time required that they be ready to handle nature and, you know, all kinds of different attacks and stuff like that, and they stood up for it. And it's like, we've gotten fat. We bought the Kool-Aid, in a sense, when we bought the GMOs, when we bought working 70 hours a week. My dad worked 40. I don't know about you, Randy, but average person, I'm going to guess, to make a family go, is working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week.
Yeah. And it's quite a bit different from, like, when I was a child, because my dad had three jobs and he was able to pay for his college and still put food on the table and still pay rent and raise us kids. You know, we didn't have much, but we didn't care. We went outside and played. It was awesome. Best childhood ever.
Yeah. I came the same way. My family actually was kind of like in the witness protection program for things I may put in a book at some point, but I'm not doing on the radio right now. And we come from a very wealthy family. My mom liked nice things. We had nice things around. But I also remember that we were trying to make some money, and we went to the apricot fields to pit, where the orchards to pit apricots. Mm-hmm. And Mom and I got paid 50 cents between the two of us for a log of pitted apricots. And I watched the flies chomping around on the apricots and stuff, and I had apricot juice dripping down my arms. I looked at Mom, she looked, and she thought, okay. And we took our 25 cents each, and we left, and we go, okay, we've done that one.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a choice. We had tough circumstances. I always loved Reverend Schiller's tough times never last, tough people do. So
true.
We had
true.
Difficult circumstances, but we had the appreciation and the finer things. Like we used silver at the table. We sat down and we stayed at the table until dinner was over. And then we asked if we could be excused.
Yeah,
personally, I think it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do my kids do it? No. Did they?
No.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because I wasn't there. I wasn't there to do that for them. And I can tell you, being with our children and giving them a structure to succeed in, it's a powerful thing. My parents, I have no college. I had no college debt. I paid the same way. My family, my mother got a scholarship for me. You know what it was?
What?
$25 from Douglas Aircraft.
Wow.
That was the scholarship that they were offering. And but what I wanted you to know is that I paid $30 a semester to go to school.
See what I'm talking about?
I do. That's why I mentioned it. You know, other countries, I think it's the Scandinavian countries, Randy, I think they actually, they may even subsidize their students. I don't think they pay for it. I know a couple of them don't. I can't remember if it was Sweden or Norway.
Mm-hmm.
They honor students. They don't rack them up with debt to the tune of $150,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's see, did I miss anybody else here? Sure, Jason Winter T. Mm-hmm. You know, it may sound like we're doing like a really long commercial, but what we're really doing is an acknowledgement of extraordinary people and extraordinary projects. After I came back from Ed Dames' seminar and I heard about spaceweather.com and the coming of the solar flares and such, I was so bummed for about 4 days. I it was hard to get out of bed, Randy. Finally, I called Colleen, Sheldon Neidl's wife of the Galactic Federation, because I said, I need another view of this. This is so depressing. I just want to go to Christ Church in New Zealand. That's one of the safe places.
It is,
and there aren't
yeah.
that many.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that we needed to hold the frequency, okay, of love.
Okay.
And that already things that were supposed to have happened hadn't happened because of, we have extra terrestrial experience and acceptance and assistance and all kinds of things, okay? And that I guess Sheldon's actually been on the spaceships himself a couple of times. It's time to get that we live in a much bigger world. We've moved from the world is flat to the world is round. Now we need to move to the spot that there are other life forms of intelligence and kindness and compassion and the galaxy that we have access to that are actually watching over us. It's a hard concept to grasp unless you believe in angels. Because maybe you can know that angels are watching over you. I mean, Randy just told a great story about that and her son. I'm telling you about my sister, and I'm also telling you about a woman I met at the conference who said she's been seeing spirits ever since she was six or seven years old. So there's a lot of you out there that aren't talking because you think people will think you're weird or something. You're not weird. You're wonderful. And we're so very happy that you're here.
Exactly.
I'm just looking to
Ron
see if
Zeller's
we missed.
Aging and Ageless is probably a good place to.
Well, you know, I talked to him just this week.
What
the amazing man is off to Costa Rica. This is the guy I went to bury 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had read his book, Aging and Ageless, and this is about the resurrection of the phoenix, you know? If you watched any of the Harry Potter movies, you would see that Dumbledore's bird was a phoenix. And what would happen is he'd turn into ashes, and the next thing that he'd show up as a beautiful plumed bird again. And that's, look up the phoenix legends, they're good. So Ron and his wife Mary Louise, who does Kayani, they're a part of they're two of the most inspiring people I've ever met in my life. She has started Taekwondo at the age of 40 and became a world champion for like 20 years in forms, okay? Even Korea has honored her for her skill and expertise. And she is now, I think the third or fourth person in the nation. No, actually globally in Kayani. And I'm going to be starting a class with her next week. I consider her a superfood. You know, what I've done for Waking Up in America is I've looked for things that are complementary to each other that I see that they all have special things. You can, and I'm going to say in longevity and longevity and also in Kayani, there's also a lot of money to be made as far as enrolling people if you're interested in looking for businesses. Those two things are like totally great. Just depends upon what you like. And I went to the Kayani convention and I was really impressed. And I was talking with them about the possibility of living to be 200, and it's like, this I thought would be an old person's conversation, Randy. It's not.
Right.
It's like, in the seminars, when I mention it, young people, like 20 in their 20s and 30s, come over and their eyes are sparkling. Because I'm not asking people to live to... Pardon?
Yeah, I think they get excited, those young ones.
Yeah, yeah.
They see that the food is poisoned. They don't want the poisoned food or water. They don't want that. They want to live. They don't want to be sick and on these prescription meds. I mean, that generation of poisoning us and making everything toxic, they've worn out their welcome. And the youth is on board with being healthy and rejecting all of their very, very negative system. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's totally a good thing, and it fits in with being leaders, okay? When you get into something that calls you, like if you're an artist and art calls you, follow what's calling you. It doesn't mean you don't have a side job or something like that, but go to your art classes. Do whatever you have to do to get yourself to be good at that. If you're called to some sport or if you're called to write a book, get yourself in a book club and a writer's club and start developing your writing. I've read some writing that I've written like, oh God, maybe in the 70s, and I went, oh my God, I've improved. You know, I have. I'm a pretty good writer, actually, at this point. I was reading the book I had written in 1982, and I was like, wow. I was questioning whether I was a good writer or not. So one of the things I'm doing, Randy, is joining a local writer's club. Because I'm going to produce, I want to do another book. And I'm trying to decide whether it should be fiction or nonfiction. So I'm playing around with character titles and stuff. And guess what? I'm like more interesting in everything because I'm letting myself actually be myself. And that's what Werner was talking about being something. He said, you know, I told you the story about the golf. Like if you read a book about golf, you don't play golf after reading the book. You get out and you involve yourself in the sport of golf and you find out how golf works, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But let yourself have something. There's something more than the rat race that you're in. Now, Randy, you're a traveler. You're always up to something. What pulls you? Mud racing, for instance.
Yeah, mud running. Yeah, you know what? It's about putting yourself out there and doing things. A lot of times, and you and I've had this conversation on and off air about, you know, all your life you found yourself in different locations and all these doors that open up. And why is that? It's the same for me too, my whole life, same thing. Why have I met this person or that person, and why did this door open, and why was I able to have this experience? It's because we put ourselves out there. And, you know, you don't just sit at home and watch the TV, and neither do I. That thing is never on in this house.
Well, it's on at my house because I love The Blacklist, and I have my adventures with the dark side on television rather than in person.
Yeah, I just don't have them. I go out, and you go out, too. And
oh, I do go out a lot, you know.
Yes. You go out more than me. Way more than me.
And I'm the one with the funny news and all that kind of stuff, because what happens is when you let yourself be pulled, the things that are troubling you go into the background rather than being in the foreground for you. And you actually have experiences that you couldn't have anticipated, you know? And so that's what this whole trip has been about, meeting Harriet last night and having an hour-long conversation with her and finding all the places that this woman who's been blind since six, she like speaks, I don't know, four or five languages. She's lives in Boston. She goes anywhere she bloody well wants. And she says, okay, she said, when my stop comes up, which side of the train am I getting out on? And it is, and you can tell she's done a trillion things. And she says, is it a side platform or a center platform? And she's saying this. And people are going, oh, well, don't worry about it. It's a center platform, but we'll make sure you don't fall off or whatever. It's like her beingness and her courage and her blindness, it just attracts people all over to help her get there. Me going through whatever I was going through, she started getting off at the wrong stop and or the right stop, since I got off at Market Street in San Francisco, and I just loved it, and it's probably the only view of San Francisco I'll get on this trip. So I kind of subconsciously think I might have snuck it in there without owning it, you know? People all over there to help me, all over the place. So, Randy, we're moving into the last minute of this amazing cell phone echoing show, and just what would you like to say to close?
Which, by the way, drives Mike crazy. So, Mike, we love you. Our producer is so amazing and patient with us. You know, I just want to say I got a renewed something for South Beach, and just realized, you know, I do need to get out a little bit more and just enjoy life even more. I had a blast. But last night that guy said something to me, and he said those exact words, you need to get out more.
So that's your comment. I agree with her, and I'm telling you that there's extraordinary people in the world, and we really want to thank the people that have enabled us to have this show, and that's Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media, our radio partners, ConyCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy, he's the one that funded me and all this landmark stuff 10 years ago, John Denver, Tippi Hedren, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall, Jonathan Grana, 42action.org, and drvalerie.com, and doctors all spelled out. We thank our producers and sponsors. Big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Bernard, Nathan Jett, Brad Comer, Randy Jackman, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Ron Simon. Great kudos to Ron Hayes for his 50th year doing research director for us. To John Denver at totallygospel.com, and big thanks. Tramiel Hubbard, our webmaster, thank you. Bent Migan, Almost Ordinary People, thank you. And come on over and listen again next week, and be kind to your neighbor and get out and party.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through. Now your heart is open.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.